Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Everybody, and Jan is again AWOL. Well, actually, she's not without leave. She's still recovering from her illness, but she'll be back next week. But anyways, we have a special guest again this week. Welcome to Ellen Huxtable, who is filling in for Jan. Ellen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing very, very well. And today's show was originally meant to be, okay, we've just gotten into the new year, and so this is our first show of the new year, so me and Jan discuss, you know, what kind of happened over the last year as far as, you know, some of the guests that we had, which, of course, you may or may not know, Ellen, but we could still talk about the main topic is, which is transitions. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And one of the things that, I don't know if I'd call myself the king of reinvention, but, man, I'm always reinventing myself, wouldn't you say, Ellen?
Well, you know, that's something that's so critical today because what used to sell and what used to be looked for in the job market really might not be the same things that are being sought or looked for currently. And so it's always important to be looking forward, to be looking at what is now and what where things are going to be and positioning ourselves for that. And so constant reinvention is the only alternative to being extinct, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 110%. I talk about this all the time because I owned a recording studio and we made audio cassettes. If I still was doing a recording studio, did audio cassettes, I wouldn't have a huge audience for them. Although I hear that vinyl records are coming back, but I don't think the audio cassette is quite on the same path as a vinyl record. So, and that's kind of the analogy of things is like, you know, as technology changes, as needs change, you have to learn to evolve with things. And a similar example of that is a handful of years, I was doing a lot of CD duplication for people, audio CDs. And, you know, then along comes something called iTunes, where everything now is online, you know, that and SoundCloud and stuff like that. And my CD duplicator broke, and so I went back to my QuickBooks and I looked at it and said, okay, how much did I do in CD duplication this year? Because a brand new one's about $2,500 to replace it. And I did about $200 in CD duplication. And I said, you know what? I probably will not make that money back, so let's just get out of that business. You hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Although you could have probably stayed in business for 200 years and gotten to break even if you had wanted to try to do that. But I think that most of us don't have 200 years to quite wait to get to break even. And so we have things that we need to buy and keep a roof over our heads in the next 200 years, so to get something that might come around again, and maybe cassettes will come around again, but maybe not within our natural lifetime. So it's important to be able to think ahead and doing things that are going to be saleable, that are going to be marketable, that are going to be setting us up for success in 2015.
Absolutely. So what kind of things do you see in your world, Ellen? I know you do a lot of networking and mastermind groups, and you meet a lot of different people in a lot of different places in their lives. What kind of things have you seen?
I think the most encouraging thing I'm seeing is that there is movement. I'm seeing movement now, which is much more than I've seen in the last few years, which is very encouraging. People are looking to start looking at hiring again. People are looking at spending a little bit in their businesses and on their businesses again. And I think that one of the things that's important for people now is to be looking as somebody that has got a forward look, looking at like somebody that is looking to help a seed and move forward, no matter how long somebody has been unemployed or underemployed or looking for the right job, it's important to not look shop for, and it's important to look fresh and look excited and to be fresh and excited. And so I think that that's one of the things that's so important, because a lot of people have been looking for things for a while now, and it's important to approach this as a fresh year and as a fresh start.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think one of the things that everybody, and this includes people that are working and people that are looking and people that are in their own businesses or starting their own businesses, I think one of the most important aspects that everybody has to learn is to continually educate themselves on new stuff. And that's one of the things that I see a lot of times in people in transition is they say, well, this is the way it's always been, you know, and it's like, I'm going to print out my resume and I'm going to mail it into this company and I'm going to get a job. You can't necessarily find those jobs in newspapers much anymore, although there are some. But the thing is that the way that people are finding jobs, the way that people are finding clients are all changing. I mean, it's just, it's an evolution, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. When you talk about having ads, looking for ads in the newspapers, it's really hard to find a newspaper nowadays. And as far as the timing goes, things are happening on an instantaneous basis. If a company puts an ad in the newspaper and an ad online, by the time the newspaper gets to somebody that might want to apply for that position, there's probably 100 people that have already responded online. So timeliness is something that clearly has changed with the change in technology. And because technology isn't going to go backwards, it's going to go forward, employers are going to be looking for people that are comfortable in the new world, that are comfortable with the pace of things and with the channels that are available. So clearly to be thinking that what worked 10 years ago or 5 years ago is still going to be the most effective approach is not going to be as competitive as being well-versed in the technology, not only so that you can use it, but that you can demonstrate by your use of it that you are savvy in these areas and will be able to help the company and the business propel into the next year and to the years beyond.
Right, because there's such a, I have to say there's a flood of people, but there's enough people out there that understand how to use it that no longer is a company going to hire you based on your experience and then be willing to pay you to learn as much as they used to. It used to be that companies would hire talent and then train them into success, and those days are I think, long gone. Have you seen something like that? Do you agree?
Absolutely, because especially with the slowdown that we've been through, the number of people that are in the marketplace now is very large. And the people that have been able to spend the time and the effort to not only stay competitive but to get ahead of the curve are going to be much more desirable to businesses than the people who thought, well, whether I did it before, worked before, and it's still going to work in the future. And I think one of the things that people need to think about in job hunting is that you really are marketing yourself. You're marketing yourself the same way a business markets itself. And I know you've just done some things online, Brian, that are available to people that are marketing-oriented that might be helpful to small business owners as well as to job seekers who want to maybe fill people in on a little bit of what's just out there to take advantage of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's tons of different learning things out there, but there's also very, you know, consolidated things that are you could spend a lot of time searching for free resources. I mean, there's a gazillion of them out there, but, you know, is it focused in helping you to learn, you know, what it is that you need to learn quickly, or is a lot of the free resources just basically trying to guide you toward buying something else? I mean, that's a lot of times that's what's happening. And I just did I have a podcast that I do every single week, and it's called MyMarketingMagnet.com. It's MY Marketing, MARKETING, Magnet, MAGNET.com. So it's spelled out as one word. And I just did a blog on, or a podcast on blogging, and I did a blog on blogging, which was quite interesting. And I said it was brought to you by the Department of Redundancy Department. But anyways, I mean, the whole reason I did that was because I really want people to understand the purpose behind it. You know, it's like, it's one thing to understand the technical side of things and understand, you know, this is how you go in, you know, you go into WordPress.com and you push button A and you see button B and blah, 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 blah. That's the, you know, that's the just make it happen kind of thing. But it's the why that's so incredibly important. And the whole why behind the gist of what I was saying on this was that it's really about, you have to have purpose and passion. I mean, the purpose is you're trying to solve something for an audience. You're trying to answer their questions. But also you're trying to share your passion, because if you don't have the combination of those two, then it just comes across as, you know, drab, boring, you know, like training manual type stuff, you know, where if you really have a passion for certain things, then it demonstrates, you know, your not only your passion, but your knowledge behind that passion. And some people would say, okay, you know, so I'm doing a blog on cooking, or I'm doing a blog on fly fishing. What does that possibly have to do with getting a job? Well, what it does is it shows, you know, number one, your thought process, your communication skills, your organizational skills, and it helps you to kind of put your, you know, your thoughts into action. And that can demonstrate the way that you work business as well. You know, it really demonstrates your thought process and your, you know, your technological background. So one of the things I would say to everybody is, you know, think about starting a blog. I don't care what it's about. They're free. You can sometimes pay for them, not super expensive. But what you're doing in all of this stuff is you're creating a personal brand. So by creating a blog, A, you get more findable. B, you could put up an about page about you that lists, you know, the kind of things that you're doing and that you're in transition, so it makes you more findable on the internet, especially if you're posting something into, let's say, LinkedIn for a job. Say, you know, here's my resume, but by the way, go check out my blog and read the about page and learn a little bit more about me. That kind of sets you out from the crowd. You kind of hear what I'm saying, Ellen?
I fully agree. I think that what you're setting up is what you just said, is a personal brand, and that's what's going to be so attractive in the marketplace. That we are not all cookie-cutter people. We are all very unique people. And that uniqueness is what's going to resonate with the right employer, that each one of us has things that we bring to the table, and we think that everybody has that. We think that everybody knows how to do flower arrangements, and we think everybody is a big downhill skiing fan. And everybody's not. And those, the things that are your hobbies, the things that are your passions and your interests, tell a lot about who you are. And those are the kinds of things that are going to resonate, maybe on a subliminal basis, with people that are looking to hire somebody into a certain position, that this is going to be something that's going to tell people a lot about who you are, that you're not just a desperate soul who's going to take anything and it's going to be another cog in the wheel, that you're somebody that's special, and that special quality is going to be what's going to resonate in the market, but something that's going to help you build connection. And connecting is so very important. And I think that whether you're connecting online or face-to-face, as we both do a lot of both, it's important to know how to connect and how to make those connections valuable.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And one of the things I do a lot of one-on-one consulting with people on setting up their LinkedIn profiles. And one of the things that I make sure that they do is at the very, very bottom, there's a thing called interests. And what I suggest to them, I mean, the absolute most important thing you have to have on a LinkedIn profile is a decent-looking picture. You have to have a professional-looking picture. The second thing, though, is those interests, because a lot of times when I'm meeting, it could be a vendor, could be a client, could be anybody, face-to-face, out in the world, because I tend to meet at Starbucks and Panera's, that's my office, the first thing I do is I look them up on LinkedIn. And I want to see their picture because I want to walk around the room and say, okay, there's Jane, there's Joe, whoever it is. I want to match the picture with the person. So if you're putting up a picture from the 1920s, it's not going to work very well. But the second thing is the interest, because when you get together, now all of a sudden you sit down and you say, hey, I see you're into golf. I golf too. Where do you golf? What's your handicap? Blah, blah, blah. You have an icebreaker that immediately creates a connection. And it's the same thing in live networking. And Ellen, you could talk through that because you run a lot of live networking groups, right?
Absolutely. One of the groups I run is called the Congregational Church of Batavia Small Business Networking Group. And that's at www.ccobnetwork.com. But that's a group that serves not only small business owners, but also people in transition. Because when you're in transition and looking for something, it's important to meet as many people in as many different places as possible, because you never know where those connections are going to resonate. I met somebody that was in a group of people in transition, invited them to the CCOB networking group, got to develop that relationship. But the connection there was that my son is very interested in drum and bugle course, in what's called DCI, Drum Corps International. And this was somebody who years ago in his, he was under 21 years old, had marched in one of the corps, and there was an immediate connection there. So what you're looking for are those connections that you have no idea might be out there, but you don't know, and other people aren't going to know until you put something out there to see who that resonates with. And so face-to-face is so important. You need to develop that. You need to know that that person really exists. And I agree with you, Brian, about those pictures that are out there, that somebody that puts up a profile with no picture, to me, is immediately suspect. And it's something that is important because we all resonate with who that person is. And whether it's true or not, we think we can discern a lot from that portrait that's out there. So what are some of the things that you've done, Brian, to help people develop those connections that are online and offline, so that those two pieces connect together for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and developing a personal brand is, you know, something that everybody has to do, whether you own your own business. Like, and you know, I joke about this, but it's true. I mean, I have 22 websites, which is, you know, a lot to manage, but I have systems that make it a lot easier to do things. And part of the personal branding is that I have a different website for different activities that I do. So I've got one, brianbasilico.com, for speaking, all right? And that just talks specifically to meeting planners and people that want to hire me to speak, and it's got sample video, and it's got my one sheet, and it's got, you know, testimonials based on that. And then I have, you know, one specifically for my training courses, which is socialnetworkconsulting.com. And that's strictly about my video training courses. Then I have another one, which is mymarketingmagnet.com, and that is a podcast that I do every single week. And I do a podcast for myself, and I also do a podcast with a guest expert. So I'm doing two podcasts a week, and then some stuff on top of that. And the reason behind that is because each one of those has a different audience. You know, people that are listening to podcasts. And I had one comment, I loved it. He says, I listened to the first 5 podcasts while I was at the gym. You know, and that's what people do, is they'll pull up the podcast on their iPhone or their Droid or whatever have you, and they'll listen to those, and these are short little 10-minute things. That's one person. You know, that's one way of doing things, where, you know, people that want to book me to speak are probably not interested in the podcast, but the fact that you show that you have the knowledge behind doing those kind of things just builds another, you know, another way of your brand that people get to understand you better. So it's all about creating online awareness, creating an online presence. In my world, it's about getting found on Google too. So, you know, if you're putting stuff out there, and you mentioned this, Ellen, is like downhill skiing. You know, if somebody finds you because of the downhill skiing thing and makes a connection between that and LinkedIn while you're looking for a job, it could be huge, you know. So having an online brand is basically just, you know, getting yourself out there, then more people are aware of who you are and what you do, right?
Absolutely. I think that what you're trying to do is you're trying to establish yourself. You're trying to make that introduction online so that people have a thought that you're somebody that they might want to work with, that they might want to explore further to see what might work out for both of you. And an online brand, as you said before, Brian, somebody is going to find out about you. They're going to maybe get to your resume on an online application, or maybe through snail mail. They might hear about you through a mutual acquaintance. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to look for you online. They're going to Google your name and see what comes up. And it's really mm-hmm. important, as you always preached for a long time, Brian, to Google yourself. Google your name and see what comes up, because it's very important. And if there are people out there that have the same name you do and come up, and have maybe a less than savory past, you need to know about that. And you need to very carefully position yourself so that people can differentiate between you and that other person. You also need to make sure that everything that's out there that really is you is what people are going to want to see. We all know that your online reputation lasts forever, and it's very hard to erase what's been out on the web, what's been out on the Internet. And so it's very important to put up things there that you want to be known for, not only now, but in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, good point. I actually, I've taught high school kids, and went in and said, and it was the leaders. It was high school leaders, actually, the best of the best. And what I taught them was is that everything you're doing right now is going to be on the internet forever. So, you know, the goofy pictures, the cursing, the selfies, all of those things are all going to be there forever. And believe it or not, you know, you may not think about it because you guys are probably, 6 to 10 years away from, being in the job market. But people will find that stuff. And so, you got to manage it. Part of, unfortunately in today's world, you're online. You could not go on Facebook, and that's fine. You could not go on LinkedIn, that's fine. You know, you don't post anything, that's fine. But believe it or not, there's going to be stuff about you out there somewhere. And you need to manage your own online brand. I mean, that's really kind of the key thing. It's just if you're not going to manage it, somebody else will do it for you, and you may not like the results, right?
It's one of the things that's so impressive and also so scary about the way that social media and the knowledge base is developed now is that the big cloud in the sky is connecting everything that's ever been out there about you into one huge database. And the extrapolations that they draw from that are often very much on target and really quite incredibly scary almost as to what the internet knows about you. And all of that is part of your brand and something that is going to be accessed by people who want to know more about you. And once it's out there, you don't have control over it anymore. You don't know what is going to be out there that you put up 10 years ago. All of those pictures of people that are having too wild of a party at the company party or the fraternity party are all going to be out there. And it's going to put a doubt in people's minds. It's going to put that edge on people's minds, whether that's positive or negative. That's going to be part of your personal brand, whether you like it or not. The language you use on the internet is critical. There are people that I would love to have recommended for a position or a job, and when I look at their postings, I can't recommend them because their postings use language that might not be exactly terribly inappropriate, but it's just edgy enough that I can't recommend them for a professional position because they don't express themselves in a professional way. And so much is hinging on your online personality, your online brand nowadays, that, as you said, Brian, to control those access points, all of them, is so critical.
Yep. Yeah, one of my basic rules 101 is if somebody on any one of my posts, because I do a lot of posting on Facebook and LinkedIn and things like that, but if anybody drops an F-bomb, it's just that's my... Mm-hmm. Absolute. I warn them once and I block them twice. I mean, because the problem is that it's not so much that I said it, but somebody goes online and sees that kind of language on my post, even though I'm not doing it, they start to associate it with you. And so that's why you have to be careful with that. And so managing your own online brand, even though it sounds like a lot of work, doesn't really have to be. It can be done relatively quickly, but it's something that's in your control. And something that you have to take control of, right?
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. If whatever is appearing on your pages or whatever is appearing on your posts is something that reflects on you. And when things start getting out of control, when people start becoming very vehement, very aggressive, very much in the attack mode, it doesn't really help the dialogue. It doesn't help the discussion. And if it's your page or your group, it doesn't reflect well upon you because the degree of professionalism that you reflect on those channels you control is something that people are going to attribute to you. They're going to attribute your professionalism to everything that your name touches.
Right, and that's one of my monikers that I say all the time is if you want to alienate 50% of your audience, talk about religion or politics. Because
absolutely.
Chances are 50% of your audience is going to be alienated or aggravated or something along that lines. And believe me, I belong to a lot of groups that are very, along those lines that are very opinionated. And I get a lot of pushback from people. Nobody's going to tell me what to say and how to say it. And it's like, okay, you're more than welcome to do that. It's your prerogative. Nobody on the internet's going to police you and tell you to stop. But I'm just telling you right off the bat that, there is a possibility that by having those opinions online that you could, you know, you could potentially lose a client or a position. I mean, it just, and then they say, well, I wouldn't want to work for that person anyways. And it's like, how do you know? You know, you may, just because of the perception, it might have been the best job ever. You know, just because of the perception, you could have lost a $1 million client. And all you have to do is say, okay, you know, you have your beliefs, you have your scruples, you have your integrity and all those other things, but it doesn't mean you have to wear it on your sleeve.
And I think one of the things is how you express yourself. Even if somebody might agree with your position on something, if you come across as somebody that is absolute, that's a firebrand, that is not going to compromise, people are going to be concerned about working with you, because business and working with people day to day is a matter of finding those common grounds, not the polarizing things, but those things that are common ground. And you can have a very different opinion on key topics from somebody that you work with and you work for. But the important thing is to remember that we all have different opinions, we all have different perspectives, but to respect the other people and the other people, the opinions that they hold. And when you come across in social media as being hugely opinionated, hugely set in your ways and unwilling to compromise, that unfortunately sets the message that you're not going to be willing to compromise and work together as a team in a workplace. And teamwork and working together and finding common ground is so critical in today's marketplace.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting down to the end here. We've got about 3 minutes, so I wanted to kind of summarize everything that we talked about. First and foremost is you have to be willing to adapt and learn and kind of grow yourself. That's number one. Number two is you have an online brand, and the best way to work with an online brand is to manage it yourself and not let the internet manage it for you. And then the third thing that we talked about is with that online brand, you're trying to develop as much positive mojo as possible and not try to inject negative mojo by creating, you know, awkward opinions and things like that. Does that sound about right?
And positive mojo attracts positive mojo, and you need to attract as much positive mojo as you can, because there's enough negative mojo out there all by itself.
Yeah, very true. I like that. And positive mojo is a mindset. It's one of my favorite sayings is some people see the glass half full, some people see the glass as half empty. I'm just damn blessed to have a glass.
Absolutely.
So anyways, Ellen, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you joining in today. I loved your insights. I know that you're big into the face-to-face networking. And what's the best website where people can get a hold of you? Because people know how to get a hold of me.
Because my website is my company's Advantage Business Concepts, and the website is www.advantage-biz.com. And we look forward to hearing from people that have tuned into the broadcast here.
Yeah, because I think that one of the things that Ellen brings to the table is a lot of, she has some assessment tools and some unique things that, you know, anybody could definitely benefit from. So, you know, if you're listening in, definitely go check that out. There's no cost, no obligation, no hat. And believe me, she's not somebody who's going to sell you anything. People, it's not in your nature to do that. So definitely go check out Ellen. If you're in the Batavia area on Thursday is the CCOB networking group, and I'm sure you can find information about that as well. It's a great open networking. It's not industry exclusive, so feel free to join Ellen, and chances are I'll be there too. So I hope to see you guys. So Ellen, thanks again so much for joining us today, and really appreciate it, and hope to talk to you again soon.
And thank you, Brian, and absolutely looking forward to speaking with you again, and thank you for having me as your guest today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for filling in. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.